Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PaintScience.com. It is Friday, January 19th, and this is a new audio version of a revised older post. I first wrote this years ago, at least 3 years ago, and shared it as a simple blog post exactly 3 years ago, which is a weird coincidence. I picked this at random to upgrade and improve and share again. And it turned out that it was exactly 3 years to the day since the first time, which was a little odd. This is both a blog post and a section of a members-only area in my Guide to Anxiety for Pain Patients. There's several sections in that members area. This is just one. There's a bunch of others. And I'm giving it away for free to free subscribers. But as usual, audio is for members only, regardless of whether you're looking at this in the blog or in the anxiety guide. Okay, so today's post and that section is titled Reasonable Doubt, the Special Threat of Health Anxiety, Hypochondria, in parentheses. When you are irrationally or excessively worried about your health, that is hypochondria. And let's immediately go into a digression about the word. Why hypo? It seems kind of like excessive worry should be named hyper something. And isn't chondria from the Greek chondros for the ribs? Right, you are. What a confusing word. It's a weird one because it comes from one of those hopelessly confused archaic medical notions, namely that melancholy came from the liver and spleen, which are under the ribs. So hypochondria was originally the word for that melancholy problem that comes from under the ribs. I guess that was, you know, well before we knew about anything else that could possibly go wrong with those organs. Hypochondria should not be diagnosed lightly, or even thought of lightly. One of the worst problems in medicine is how often people who have real medical problems are not believed, assuming instead that they're just being like a Victorian lady with a case of the vapors. Not by accident. There's a lot more diagnosing of hypochondria when the patient is a woman, or some other kind of, person who is the object of prejudice. But in spite of those very depressing problems, hypochondria is surely real and common, even if it's not nearly as common as the clinical suspicion. Another digression, I tried to find some data on the actual prevalence of hypochondria or some evidence-based hint about how overdiagnosed it might be. I failed, which probably isn't surprising because there's no objective test for hypochondria. The nearly insurmountable problem is that we have no way of knowing who actually has hypochondria. It's kind of like trying to figure out how many innocent people are convicted of serious crimes. So yeah, we don't really know how common hypochondria is or how often it's diagnosed relative to that, but almost certainly common, and almost certainly not as common as it is suspected. Fear of health problems makes a lot more sense than many phobias, many of which are obviously irrational. Fear itself is obviously more of a problem than a lot of the things that we are afraid of. Health anxiety works differently because the threats are more real. They're more serious and harder to disprove. Speculation can run amok, and run amok it does. I don't get to use the word amok nearly often enough. Health anxiety is a particularly nasty trap for the fallible human mind in three ways. First, hypochondria causes itself. Symptoms drive more health anxiety, which drives more symptoms, a vicious cycle. Second, hypochondria thrives on seeds of truth. Many psychosomatic symptoms are not generated out of thin air, but exaggerations and complications of actual problems, which immensely complicates diagnosis. And third, hypochondria deftly shifts the blame for the symptoms it causes onto the body itself, removing suspicion from itself. That is a bit of nasty deviousness that makes this harder than other anxiety problems. If you're nauseous preparing for a speech, then well, there's little room for doubt or debate about the roots of your flip-flopping stomach. It's obviously not a pathology. Nausea from stage fright is a classic psychosomatic symptom. But if you have a symptom because you're scared of sickness itself instead of a clear non-medical threat, then all suspicion can fall on the health threats instead of your own mind. And those fears are based on mostly plausible and unfalsifiable hypotheses about your internal state. Not necessarily plausible, of course. People have some pretty kooky ideas about what is wrong with them. So a lot of health anxiety is based on things that are not at all plausible. But it's interesting a little detail here. People who are more competent and more knowledgeable are much better at generating more plausible, harder to falsify hypotheses about what might be wrong with them. Anyway, regardless of the sophistication level, you have worried ideas and they can't be easily put to rest. So, no matter how many explanations you dismiss as unlikely or even absurd, there's always another to take its place. Any symptom could have a surprising medical cause, right? Literally any symptom. Indeed, anxiety-powered symptoms can be worse and weirder than the pathology-powered ones. Quote from a 1764 paper. Yep, you heard that right. The year 1764. Robert White said, "The colors of the chameleon are not more numerous and inconstant than the varieties of the hypochondriac and hysteric disease." I'm not sure how valuable that quote is, given that it was coming from the same time period in which the term hypochondria emerged, with its reference to melancholy coming from the spleen and the liver. So, yeah, not exactly really substantiating my case, but it's kind of a cool quote, and I think true, just even if it's true for the wrong reasons. Yep. Lot of colorful symptoms from the hypochondriac. The fearful speculation is also hard to stop for another reason. There are so many credible seeds of truth that are terrific scapegoats. Our lives are peppered with genuine medical threats, misfortunes, and discomforts, and nothing boosts hypochondria like a little actual illness. And so, many people effectively have two problems: a health problem and excessive anxiety about it. And who's to even say whether it's excessive if the problem is scary enough or scary enough to you? There are many kinds of common health phobias, of course. And so if something happens to you that pushes one of those buttons, yikes, of course you're going to be very, very worried. It might be excessive by someone else's standards, and it might still qualify as hypochondria, but the point is that you've got a very good real reason to be freaked out. And that happens with health anxiety much more than other kinds of anxiety. Even for the open-minded patient, someone willing to brave the stigma of hypochondria, someone willing to embrace the diagnosis, it is hard to make progress because what we fear is so easily blamed on something else rather than fear itself. When we try to honestly ask ourselves if worry is our real problem, worry always responds the same way. Okay, maybe, but what if it's not? And it can never be satisfied. It's like a good defense lawyer. Health anxiety can always stir up some reasonable doubt. To wrap up this post, I made a to wrap up the revision of this post, rather, I added a nice picture of a tombstone with the humorous and ironic epitaph, "I told you I was sick." One of the best all-time great epitaphs. I wonder if it's ever actually been used. The image is quite unusual. It's very colorful. I made this image with the DALL-E image generating service, and the result was particularly entertaining. It's a large, elaborate Baroque style grave marker. The tombstone is intricately carved with a rich array of brightly colored decorations, including some very odd ones if you zoom in. But zoomed out, it just looks complicated and fancy. At the top, there's a golden skull with dark eye sockets. It's flanked by swirls and flourishes in teal and pink and gold. The base of the tombstone features many ornamental elements, round medallions and twisted columns, all of it adding to the Baroque grandeur and surreality of the thing. And the font of the epitaph is extremely elaborate. It's curly Q's and big differently shaped curving letters, and there would be no such tombstone possible in the real world, let alone desirable. But it communicates a lot of color and drama. And so I wrote, and this was deliberate. I asked Dali for a colorful, basically, I wanted a melodramatic tombstone. I wanted to express the drama queen aspect of the hypochondria, the hysteria, because it's true that hypochondriacs are often dramatic and colorful people. For good reasons, those things tend to go together. But I also want to remind people that drama queens can also actually get sick. That is a thing. You can be a drama queen and get sick and have health problems. Okay, that is it for today. Thank you for listening, and talk to you next time.